Hey, we're so glad you're here because today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, Rick's sharing the biblical wisdom we need to have great relationships. And let's admit it, we can all use that. So let's get right to it with Pastor Rick Warren for the final part of a message called, Who is Pushing Your Buttons?
When somebody starts to come push your buttons and they want to irritate you, they may do it, you know, visibly, or they may do it hidden. They may do it a bit in a manipulative way. You think before reacting. You think before you speak, because anger control is largely a matter of mouth control. And you don't respond impulsively. You put your mind in gear before you put your mouth in gear. Proverbs 13:16, sensible people always think before they act. Proverbs 29:11, a fool gives full vent to his anger. He said, that's foolish. If I give full vent to my anger, he says, I'm just a fool. A fool gives full vent to his anger. But a wise person quietly holds it back. And in the Hebrew there, it literally means it cools it. He holds it down and cools his anger. He waits for it to cool. Now, this is why we know that chill out is a biblical term. Okay, cool it, chill out. You know, let it go down. Now, if while you're waiting, what do? You're asking yourself questions. And let me give you three questions to ask while you're waiting, okay? Write these down, three questions. Number one, why am I angry? You think before reacting. Why am I angry? Why am I angry? Number two, you ask the question, what do I really want? Now, this person's pushing my buttons right now, and I'm tempted to just be sarcastic back. But what do I really want in this relationship? Why am I angry? What do I really want? And number three, how can I get it? Now, you can't ask those questions if you immediately speak up. But if you be quiet for a minute, you can think about them. And when you say, how can I get it? Blowing up is rarely the best way. Now, if you reflect before reacting, if you think before speaking, then you can identify the root cause of the anger. Anger is always caused by one of three things. Always. Look past the anger and look at the root cause. It's always caused by one of these three things. Here they are. Number one is hurt. When somebody's pushing your buttons and they're angry, it may be they're hurt. Because when you get hurt, you get angry. If I'm at home and I'm nailing some nail into the wood and I take the hammer and I hit my thumbnail, I don't say, praise the Lord. Okay? No, I get angry when I hit. Why? Because hurt always creates anger. I get angry at the hammer. I get angry at my hand. I just get angry at life. Why? Because when you're hurt, you're angry. And so when somebody, it's easier to deal with somebody's hurt. It's easier to be more sympathetic to hurt than it is to be sympathetic with anger. Anger wants to make you defensive. So when you're wounded, either emotionally or physically, you get angry. The second cause of anger is frustration. When you get frustrated, you get angry. When you're irritated, when you're forced to wait, Department of Motor Vehicles, angriest place around town usually. I can tell you a cool story. I was in New York City and I had my wallet stolen. So I lost all my credit cards. I had to cancel them all. I had to get a new driver's license. I go over to DMV to get a new driver's license. There's a long line and I'm being happy. And Angelica sees me and she says, Pastor Rick, come on up over here. So I come over. She helps me fill out all the papers. And then she goes, now that'll be $26. And I'm going, I don't have a wallet. Do you have credit card? Yeah, I had them all canceled. Do you have check? No. And so I'm thinking, oh man, I'm going to have to go home and get money and come back and get in line again. She opens up her purse and says, here. And she paid it for me, the $26. Now, I paid her back. In fact, I gave her more than she gave me when I sent her a note and said, thank you. Last night, I baptized her. Yeah. So that was kind of cool. So I said, after I baptize, that'll be $26. She did what you did. She laughed. Yeah. Now, when you're frustrated, when nothing seems to work, frustration causes anger. When you can't control a situation, it makes you angry. Any parent who's held an infant who has screamed for one solid hour, and you have done everything possible to make this baby stop crying, and it won't stop crying, and you in your mind have thought, I'd like to strangle this child. So, I've never thought that. There's a word for you, liar. Because everybody's like, I would like to shake this child right now, because you feel so out of control. At that moment, that little helpless baby has control of your emotions. And you're going, I can't stop it. Now, the higher control person you are, the more prone you are to anger. Because most of life is out of your control. If you're a low control person, you don't really deal with anger that much. You got your other problems. And everybody's got their problem, because we're all broken. Some people struggle with lust. Some people struggle with fear. Some people struggle with worry. Some people struggle with envy and jealousy. Some people struggle with depression and loneliness. But if you're a high control person, this is a problem for you. Because the more you need to control, the more you realize how frustrated you are in life. Because you can't control. You can't control your kids. You can't control other people. Shoot, you can't even control yourself most of the time. So hurt and frustration. High control equals high anger. The third cause of anger is fear. When we get afraid, when we feel threatened, when we feel attacked, when we feel afraid, we fight back. You take any animal and force them into a corner, at some point, that cat's going to strike back. Whether it's tame or it's wild, a cornered cat, a cornered animal is going to strike back. Now, this is why delay is a great cause for anger. It allows you to reflect before reacting and think, am I hurt? Am I frustrated? Or am I afraid? Is that person hurt? Is that person frustrated? Is that person afraid? The longer you hold your temper, the better it gets. Thomas Jefferson was not a theologian, but what he said about anger was true. He said, when you're angry, count to 10. If you're really angry, count to 100. That's wise advice. Don't immediately text back. Don't immediately respond to that email. Sleep on it. Let it cool. Calm it down. Count to 10. What do? During the delay? You try to understand the cause. Now, the more you understand, the more understanding you'll be. The more you understand your children, the more understanding you'll be of your children. The more you understand your boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife, the more understanding you're going to be of your husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend. What people don't realize is that anger is contagious. You can catch it, so you have to slow it down. I don't know if you've noticed this, that when you get loud, others get loud. When others get loud, you get loud. Anger is contagious. And the problem here is that somebody's got to stop the loudness. Now, the Bible says this. Look on your outline, Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer quiets anger, but a harsh one stirs it up. What does it mean? Just by talking quieter, you ratchet down the anger in any relationship. It says, a gentle answer quiets anger. Whose anger does it quiet? Yours. It'll also do theirs, but it quiets yours. When you talk quiet, you are less angry. Have you ever noticed the louder you talk, the angrier you get? The quieter you talk, the more you calm down. Responding with equal force. When somebody starts pushing your buttons and they walk up to you at the office, or you walk in the door at home and somebody lets out something and you respond with equal force, it's only going to escalate. It's not going down. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Proverbs 17:27 says this, a wise person uses few words. Circle that. A wise person, truly wise person, twitters. And by the way, if you're not following me on Twitter, you're going to hell. Okay, just wanted you to know that, all right? A truly wise person uses few words. A person with understanding is even tempered. You know, as a person who speaks publicly all the time, I have noticed that I cannot put my foot in my mouth when it's closed. And neither can you. The average man speaks 25,000 words a day. The average woman speaks 30,000 words a day. That's why, guys, when you get home at night, your wife still has 5,000 more words. And she needs to use them up. I was talking to a guy one time, and I said, does it bother you that your girlfriend always gets the last word? He says, no, I'm grateful when she gets to it. Pastor Tom is going to come and teach the fourth key.
Let's look at this verse up on the screen, and just for a couple minutes, let's say it a couple of times together. Psalm 141, verse 3. Lord, help me control my tongue. Help me to be careful about what I say. Try it one more time with conviction. Lord, help me to control my tongue. Help me to be careful about what I say. This is a tube of toothpaste. Quiz of the day. Here, all the venues, everywhere, regional campuses. If I squeeze this tube, what's going to come out? This is not that hard a question, you guys. Let's try it one more time. Squeeze this, what's going to come out? Toothpaste. When you squeeze your life, your heart, you know what comes out? Whatever's inside. Whatever's inside. So the problem I'm facing in my life with my anger, with my struggles, with lashing out at the people that I love the most, I can't blame them. I can't blame the circumstance because the problem is inside. The heart of the problem is a problem of the heart. It's what's coming out of me. And so when I'm under tension, all of a sudden I start to attack everybody in my life. Pressure always reveals what's inside of you. None of us like to admit that, but it's the truth. We see these things coming out of our mouths and we say, I don't know where that came from. The truth is, it came from inside of me. It comes from your heart. So the key is to change your heart. The key is to change what's inside. If you've got a well and the well has bad water, fixing the pump isn't going to help what's in the well. That's the problem with a lot of self-help books. They tell you how to fix the pump, but they don't have to tell you how to fix the water that's in the well. And unless you fix that, things aren't going to change. So what do? How do you make a difference? You let God's Spirit start to fill your life. The key is to be filled with God's Spirit. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the fruit of God's Spirit in our lives. I have found that when I'm filled with myself, when I'm filled with Tom, almost anything can upset me. In fact, I can make up things that will upset me when I'm filled with myself. But if I'm filled with God's Spirit, almost nothing will upset me because I'm filled with His love, His joy, His peace. Now, how do you get filled with God's Spirit? Don't make it too complicated. It just means you depend on God instead of depending on yourself. You pray that very simple two-word prayer, help me. Pray that prayer, help me, God. I'm depending on you. I'm not depending on myself. And as you do that, you will find, as you ask God for help, that He will fill you with His Spirit.
Now, the dirty secret in millions of homes is out of control anger. Last year, 4 million wives were beaten by their husbands. That is unacceptable. Last year in America, 10 million children were beaten by their parents. That is unacceptable. That is the thing that has to be dealt with. I want you to know that if you're being abused, if you're being hurt, you need to get help now. But the key is in humility. You've got to admit it. You've got to own up to it. You've got to admit it. The Bible says God gives grace to the humble. Grace is the power you need to change. You say, well, I know I've got this problem, but I can't talk about it. Then it's already out of control. Any problem you can't talk honestly about in your life, whether it's pornography or anger or lust or greed or whatever it is, panic, whatever the problem is in your life, doesn't really matter. If you can't talk about it, it's already out of control. And the starting point is for you to own up. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I have seen not hundreds, but thousands of people released from the power of uncontrolled anger. You can get over this. You can relearn it. You don't have to stay the same the rest of your life. You learned some bad patterns, and you can unlearn them, and you can learn some new patterns. Now, the most important key to dealing with anger, first in your own life and with those who push your buttons and try to make you angry, is the last point. And it's the most important one of all. If you're gonna get control of your anger in your life, number five, I must base my identity in Jesus. You gotta change what you build your identity on. I must base my identity in Jesus, that he loves me unconditionally, that I am his, that I am valuable, I'm worthwhile, he has a purpose and plan for my life. If you try to build your identity on anything else, you'll struggle with insecurity your life. You try to build your identity on your job, you can lose your job. You try to build your identity on how good looking you are, you're gonna lose your good looks. You can build your identity on a person you marry, they're gonna die. You can build your identity on being popular, you're not always gonna be popular. If you build your identity on anything that can be taken away from you, you're gonna be insecure, and insecurity is at the root of your anger. And until you start feeling secure about yourself, people are gonna be able to push your buttons. When you know who you are and whose you are, people can't push your buttons. They can't get to you. Anger and insecurity go together. The more insecure I feel, the more angry I feel. So I have to base my identity in Jesus. Otherwise, you're gonna be able to push my buttons because I'm gonna care too much about what you think of me. I'm gonna care too much about your approval or disapproval. The Bible says in Proverbs, here we go again, chapter 29, verse 25, the fear of human opinion disables you. If you are worried about what other people think, you have an emotional disability. You are emotionally disabled. If you are always worrying about who accepts me and who rejects me, who approves and who disapproves, the fear of human opinion disables you. But trusting in God protects you from that. How does God help me manage my anger? Well, Tom already talked about it. He goes to the heart of the matter. You see, when I get angry, my mouth just reveals what's inside my heart. A harsh tongue reveals an angry heart. It just shows what's inside of me. A negative tongue reveals a fearful heart. It just shows what's inside of me. A boasting tongue reveals an insecure heart. It's always the heart. An overactive tongue reveals an unsettled heart. A judgmental tongue reveals a guilty heart. The most judgmental people are those who feel guilt the most. A critical tongue reveals a bitter heart. You see, it's always showing what's inside of me. And a filthy tongue reveals an impure heart. On the other hand, an encouraging tongue reveals a happy heart. And a gentle tongue reveals a loving heart. And a controlled tongue reveals a peaceful heart. Do you know what you need to get rid of your anger problem? Do you know what you need to do to become immune to the button pushers in your life? You need a heart transplant. Fortunately, God specializes in them. It's called salvation. God gives you a brand new heart, and he gives you a brand new identity. And all of a sudden, I'm not trying to find my identity in my job or in my bank account or in my good looks or in my talent or in my relationships, all which I can lose. But I find my identity in what God says about me. And then you can't push my buttons anymore because I don't care as deeply as I did about what you think. Let me show you some verses here on the screen. Ephesians 1:4. Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us. Can you imagine that? God thought of you before he thought of the universe. Before he made the world, God loved us and chose us. Before he made the universe, chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. So what should be my reaction? I need to start letting God be the center of my identity. Look at this verse on the screen, Matthew 5:48. Grow up, your kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Not the identity somebody else tried to give you. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others the way God lives toward you. When you are living out your God-given identity, you will be generous and you will be gracious to others. And no matter how much they push your button, you're not pushing back because you're living out your God-given identity. They don't determine who you are. God determines who you are. Do you know what is the most practical, simple, logical way to start your new identity? Baptism, by being baptized. I'm not talking about being baptized as a kid that you don't even maybe even remember. Jesus was dedicated at the temple as a baby. But at 30 years of age, as a full-on adult, he made his adult profession of faith. That's what we're talking about. Went to the Jordan River and was immersed by John the Baptist. And he said, you guys are to do this too. He modeled it. Have you been baptized as an adult to defend your faith and to say, this is my identity? That's what baptism is. The Bible says this on the screen, Romans 6:4. If we identify with Jesus in his death by being baptized, we will be identified, there's that word, identified with him in his resurrection and raised to life. And 1 Corinthians 12:13 says this. We are all baptized by one spirit into one body. And now the old labels, the old identities, the old labels we once used to identify ourselves with, like I'm a Jew or I'm Greek or I'm a slave or I'm free or I'm rich or I'm poor or I'm black or I'm white or brown or whatever, those are no longer needed because my identity is in Christ. If you have not been baptized, this is the first step on your identity. You may have been a Christian for many, many years, and you've never taken the step of identification. I want to challenge you to decide right now, I'm going to be baptized. It is the starting point that says, I want the new identity. I'm tired of being angry. I'm tired of having people push my buttons. I'm tired of being worried about what other people think and let that influence me. You see, the three things that cause anger, Jesus can heal. Hurt, frustration, and fear. Jesus can heal your hurting heart with his love. Jesus can replace your frustrated heart with his peace. Jesus can replace your insecure heart with his power. If you pick up a crying baby and you hold that baby close and it feels warm and it feels secure, it stops crying. It stops being angry. And when you feel secure and accepted in Jesus Christ, your anger is going to dissipate. Let's bow our heads. Father, it's sad but true, but we often get angry at the people we love the most, those we're closest to. And because we forget that you're the source of all that we need, not others, we get angry. Jesus, help us to remember that when we expect anybody else to meet needs that only you can meet, we're going to be disappointed. We're going to be let down. We're going to be angry. Father, I'm certain that there are many people here who are struggling with anger in one of these four forms we talked about. And they're angry because of hurt or because of frustration or because of insecurity. And you, Jesus, are the answer to all three of those things. Help them to experience hope and healing today. Now you pray. Dear God, just say this. I admit I have a problem with my anger. And I let other people push my buttons. And I get even and I retaliate and I fight back. And I don't think before speaking. I'm asking for your help. Help me to reflect before reacting. Help me to learn to release my anger appropriately. Help me to find my identity completely in you. If you've never been baptized, say, Jesus, I want to be baptized to identify myself as you commanded us to do. I open myself completely to you. Come into my life. Save me, change me. Make the changes that only you can make. In your name I pray. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Rick. If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord, and you need to tell somebody, and why don't you tell me? Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
I don't know about you, but I am encouraged after that message. And let's keep the encouragement going with a letter from one of our listeners. Here's Rick.
You know, I really enjoy getting letters from you, and I'd like to thank each of you who've taken the time to write me. Your letters and your emails really do encourage me. In fact, let me just read one from a listener that I can share with you. It says this: Dear Pastor Rick, I'm a suburban public school teacher who works in a district with a great socioeconomic and ethnic divide. I love the diversity of my student population, but at the same time, these high school students arrive with all kinds of religious and moral values, which, of course, impacts their relationships with others. Daily Hope always gives me the compass I need to guide my day. I like how your messages encourage respecting cultural differences while maintaining the truth. I think it's important to foster relationships with others in the name of Jesus. Pastor Rick, I listen to Daily Hope on my 35-minute drive to work, and although I can't mention God or Jesus in school, students are allowed to initiate that discussion with me. So I'm refreshed and equipped daily because of your messages. Thanks for the broadcast. I look forward to it every day. Sincerely, Amy. Well, thanks for writing, Amy. Keep up the good work with your students, and I'm glad that Daily Hope is encouraging and equipping you in the calling that God has called you to do. And I want you to know I'm going to be praying for you because you wrote to me. To the rest of you, I just want to say Jesus is able to reach every person because he came to save all people. Jesus came for every tribe and every nation and every culture on earth. In fact, the Bible says in Revelation 7:9 that one day in heaven, that every tribe, every nation, every people, and every ethnic group will be clothed in robes, standing before the throne of God, praising God in that day. That's why it's so important to share this good news with not just our kind of people, but with every kind of people. One of the most powerful things you can do to fulfill the Great Commission is to share your story. And I'd like to hear it. You can actually write to me, and we'll share some of these testimonies on the air from time to time so that other people can be encouraged too.
If Daily Hope has helped you, we'd love to hear about it. Just email rick@pastorrick.com. Your story could really touch and help encourage other people. So once again, that's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.